Chris shows you examples of how efficient you should be. And I was like, you know what? In order for everything to kind of like time up better, I'm going to try to drop my arm a little bit and just slow down this process. And what that got me to do was, again, the disassociation to now, once I start my throw motion, get my foot in the ground quick, this is going and this is still coming around. Basically, like every rotational athlete, it's golfing, it's swinging a baseball bat, of staying on that back foot, and it's this, right? Where I wanted to throw everything and have this stay back as long as possible, and as it comes through, to be as snappy as possible. It's like a catapult almost. Everything is...
more like a trebuchet. Isn't that it? Not a catapult, but a... is that how you say it? Trebuchet? You know the difference between the two?
No.
No?
No clue. A trebuchet?
Yeah.
No.
That's what most people are talking about when they're saying catapult.
Isn't the trebuchet the one that has like sort of two levers?
Yeah, and it whips.
One whips.
It throws things.
The catapult is just a singular plane.
Yeah. Yes.
Very good.
Yes, yeah, singular plane.
I'm glad my brain still works well enough to know.
Listen,
that.
Listen, the show's never sounded, I don't know, so smarter. Maybe.
More scientific, maybe?
Yeah, that's Josh Allen. Good morning. Jeremy and Joe, Owen and Josh here as well. That's Josh Allen from January, the piece the Bills put out on working with Chris Hess, which we saw yesterday in Hard Knocks. They were breaking down his throwing motion and deep into it and 3D mapping. Mm-hmm. Can I tell you the snarky thought I had about that exact moment?
What's that?
As there's Allen and Trubisky and Mike White and Shane Buechele digging deep into their throwing motion with 3D cameras and everything, I thought somewhere Mark Schlereth cries about analytics. You know?
He hated that segment.
He was playing football out there. Like, but look at the science they're putting into the best player in the NFL's throwing motion. And, of course, I would think the Bills are not the only team doing that. And if they are, or if there are teams out there not doing that, let's say you're a quarterback in the NFL and you watched that last night. First off, you probably have to be doing that or know that's happening. But wouldn't you look at that and say, well, Josh is doing that. I should be doing that.
Yeah.
I should be doing that.
I remember criticism of Cam Newton for never doing that, for never working on his motion. He had a weird hitch in it. And there probably are guys that would fight against that, right? Like, what do you mean? I got to change the way I throw the football. I was amazing high school player. I was amazing in college. I made the National Football League, and now I'm a starter. And you want me to do what? You want me to change how I throw the football?
Yeah.
Like, I bet there would be individuals around the league that think that way.
There might be.
I don't know who they would be right
they
now.
They might be against it because, you know, ego. Or they might be against it because they think this job is already hard enough. Let me figure out the league first. Before I introduce, change the way you throw the ball.
Because I can't think of another starter in the league right now that I have heard. I mean, we're closer to the Bills, so maybe if I was covering the Texans, I would hear about Stroud doing it. But I don't know of another quarterback in the league that has, like, rehauled their throwing motion, like Josh has.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. To join us, Jeremy and Joe. Have a poll up about the receivers now that Tyrell Shavers has made the initial 53-man roster, which I hope we get that on next week's Hard Knocks. It'd be nice to see.
I bet, yeah, that's going to be cut down day central next week's episode.
You would think.
Because it wasn't really in this one.
No, it was just the stress of the cuts and guys that are hoping to make the team.
Yeah.
And whoever comes back on the practice squad. So that part of it might be next week. But the positive story, the most dramatic who's going to make the team, it really might be just Shavers. Mm-hmm. Who else is a surprise? Anybody?
Not really. It was kind of
chalk.
Like, kind of chalk.
Yeah, the draft picks made it.
Yeah.
Now, they have decisions to make once Max Hairston and Tylan Grable come off IR. They're designated to return. Now, other injuries, of course, could create spots. But if they're fully healthy, four guys have to come off the roster to make room for Hairston, Grable, and Hoyt and Ogunjobi. And the most interesting thing that happens, I mean, maybe they don't keep six receivers. Doesn't have to be a defensive end comes back and a defensive end leaves.
Yeah.
It could be a defensive end comes back and a receiver leaves. That could be Shavers. That could be Elijah Moore. You never know. So the roster will still have some tweaks, of course. But on the receiver, I posted this at Twitter. You can vote in this Twitter poll if you'd like. After all that, how's everybody feel about the receiver group? You have six. They've added three receivers that were not on the team last year. Josh Palmer, Elijah Moore, and Shavers making the roster. Like, Sure, he was on the practice squad, but they have another body. So they've added three receivers. I'm counting Shavers for this.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the receivers group? Your options at Twitter. Great. Fine, because Josh, obviously, it's rough. Or you can also vote, why are we talking wide receiver, if you want to. So how do you feel about it?
I feel fine because of Josh, mostly.
It's hard not to vote fine because of Josh. Fine because of Josh.
I do feel fine in general. Like, even separate from Josh. Like, I don't think they have a top Mike Clay ranked all the position groups in the league the other day, and he had the Bills 22nd at wide receiver. Like, I think it's about fair for them. Like,
yeah,
I don't think they're the worst group in the league. I don't think they're also near the top. They're probably a little bit below average as an overall group.
I don't think the tight end changes that either.
No,
I think
not
if
for
you
me.
Go skill positions, wide receiver, tight end, they probably rank 20th.
Right. There is no, oh, but you guys forgot about Dalton Kincaid. Yeah. Oh, really? I forgot about a tight end who had 400 yards last season and two touchdowns? Like, no, I didn't.
Right,
like,
he's going to have to prove that.
If he proves it in a year, you could say that.
I do think if you include running backs, you drift up to maybe, whatever, top half of the league. Because the Bills use their backs and use them well. So
That's right.
If you're ranking just receivers, just tight ends, just backs, like any combination of them, I think the best you can get to is about, you know, a little above average is an entire group, and of course, Allen takes them, you know, much higher.
But there is nobody on this receiving corps that I think a defensive coordinator should be afraid of right now.
Not yet.
Nobody. I mean, you would like to believe that Coleman could develop into that, or that Palmer can be a difference maker compared to what he was with the Chargers. So there's potential for someone to become that, but it doesn't have to happen. I mean, there are question marks. There are question marks about every single receiver that isn't named Khalil Shakir, and I could even say him just at the beginning of the year because he's got an ankle injury. Like, when they line up against the Ravens in 8 days, what do I know I have? I don't know what I have in Coleman. Not yet. I know I have a role player, but I don't know how good he is. I don't know what Palmer looks like in this offense. Does it have to be better than it was with the Chargers? He didn't have, you know, Gardner Minshew throwing him the ball. It was Justin Herbert. What do I have in Shakir in week one with an ankle injury? I don't know how healthy he'll be. And then Samuel with his injuries and Moore being in a different offense and not really popping off in camp or preseason. Like, every single player at that position has a question mark going into the Ravens game. Every single player.
Yeah.
So I feel fine. I don't feel terrible about it. I think if you told me, hey, the Bills are not going to add a number one receiver this offseason, I feel like they've actually ended up about as good as I could hope. Palmer's a fine addition, and I liked the Elijah Moore signing. And Shavers had a great camp. So really, what did I want them to do this summer other than trade for Terry McLaurin or DK Metcalf?
Yeah, it's important to note that this time last year that we were talking about MVS.
MVS.
Being a part of their team.
I feel way better about what they have now than MVS. And was there another one of those guys that made the team last year, or was it just MVS? Claypool didn't make the team.
It was MVS. It was Mac Hollins. We didn't know what Mac Hollins was going to do.
Right, and then Hollins.
He had a nice kind of surprise season. The one thing about Coleman and, you know, ceiling, what you expect from him, what you get from him, we'll see. I wonder if he starts to get good enough to get more attention. Mm-hmm. Because Deion Dawkins has been raving about Coleman. Like, he's a different player this year. The league better get ready. And if he's a lot better, he'll draw some double teams. He'll draw where corners want protection. And that's something that did not happen last year. Coleman was singled up as much as any receiver in football. Like, last year,
right,
part of the story was that, sure, he had his nice moments against – I mean, he won. He won routes. He was great after the catch. And if he does a lot of that, that's a story in the NFL altogether – for every player, you get a lot better. Then it becomes, okay, now defensive coordinators, this is what you were talking about, do have to worry about you. And do they have an answer for you? And do you have an answer for that? Right? If he's good enough to draw more attention, you know, that opens things up for other guys. Everybody eats and they can be in good shape. 803-0550. Joe in Pittsburgh before the break. Hey, Joe, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Very good.
I was wondering about your thoughts on Beanie Bishop. The Steelers just cut him. I live in the Pittsburgh area. All my buddies are kind of ticked off that he was cut by the Steelers, them being Steelers fans.
Mm-hmm.
With the uncertainty at the position, just wanted to hear your thoughts on Beanie Bishop, who he had like 5 or 6 picks last year. He started for the Steelers. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, he had 4 picks last year. He was a 4th-round pick, I feel like. I remember him being, because he was a guy I remember talking about before last draft for a moment, but I have no idea why he got cut. I mean, he's really little. So is he a nickel guy? Is he an outside guy? I'm not familiar enough with the player. But there will be guys like that around the league. I mean, they're apparently signing a safety from San Francisco.
The Panthers, right?
Or from Carolina.
Carolina, yeah.
He was at another camp, didn't make the team. That's Sam Franklin. Yep. So, like, he's for special teams, but it's like what you were saying. Like, he takes somebody's spot on the roster if he's being signed to the 53-man.
I don't think he's on the 53. I think he's
going to practice squad.
Yep. Jimmy Charlo will be practice squad. We saw a little more of him on Hard Knocks last night. Yeah. Thanks, Joe, for the phone call. I remember the name, Beanie Bishop, but I can't say I know enough about him and why it didn't work in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's got some good corners, right? Jalen Ramsey.
Pittsburgh, yeah. Ramsey's maybe playing in the
safety or slot.
Yeah, I was gonna say he might play in the nickel. They were doing that with him in the preseason a little bit as like a big nickel corner.
Okay.
That Franklin report did not include him going to the practice squad, so maybe he does end up doing that. But he's played like 70%+ special team snaps every year under this coordinator. So I think there might be a chance he's on the 53 man.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Give us a ring. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.